So you want to think in advance about how to share exhibits with a witness without necessarily providing them in advance. But anything you can provide in advance on paper, that's an advantage, particularly a lengthy document. If the case concerns a contract or another lengthy document that everybody knows what it is and everybody has a copy and everybody knows it's an issue, there's absolutely no reason not to provide that on paper. You will avoid wasting time with a witness saying they can't read something on the screen or they can't control the screen to review the document, whatever the case may be. If you're dealing with third-party witnesses, you have a whole nother group of concerns to think about. Everything from how to make sure that they have a device that they can use, how to make sure that they have internet access that they can use. If they do not have those things, you know, is there a way to provide those? Can they come to, now that we have a little bit more freedom, can they come to an office, your office? Can they go to a, you know, an office that you can rent for a short period of time? Does the court reporter have a facility where they can be? A lot of logistical concerns with a third-party witness and with your own witnesses that you don't necessarily have to think about if it's somebody adverse. The one thing that I think is important to remember in a virtual deposition is what you are going to say at the beginning of the deposition to sort of nail down the parameters of what's going on. As we all know, when you have a regular deposition and a party is coming to some place that has a little modicum of officialness, and they get sworn by a court reporter in person, and there might be a videographer there, it's a very intimidating process that we spend time with our own witnesses when we're defending depositions, getting them used to it. But what that formality does for us is similar to what happens in a courtroom. We'll talk about this a little later, is that it creates this expectation that you are going to follow your oath. You are going to tell the truth. And there is sort of an intimidation factor that happens when an opposing lawyer is sitting right beside you and questioning you that you don't have remotely. So are there things that you can say? Are there questions you can ask the person without abusing them or harassing them? But to create the same sort of formality and psychological situation that you would have in a regular deposition, for example, you know, you understand that you are here today to testify under oath. You understand that the oath that was given you is a very important part of our legal process. Our justice system is the same as if you were testifying in a courtroom. You know, do you have any other devices available to you? Is there anyone else in the room with you? Those kinds of questions, again, not to harass them, not in a bad tone, not to get too personal with them, but to begin the process of making sure they understand this is a formal court procedure, and to sort of instill in their brain psychologically that it's not just, you know, having a Skype call with your friends.
Judge Payne, I know you're not doing virtual depos, but you're having virtual hearings. How do you implement that in remote hearings that you're conducting?
Well, I think I wanted to first comment on virtual depos and just the idea that they may very well not go away. I anticipate that going forward, as we did in the past, where we would have witnesses presented by a recorded video, and on occasion we would have witnesses kind of Skype in, right? Now that we are all very much more comfortable with being on the video and questioning witnesses, I expect that the objections to either having a virtual witness appear or having conducted a virtual video, I mean, deposition where you recorded, that the bar is going to be a lot lower. The expectation is that that's going to be something that you can easily do. And so therefore objections to not doing it that way are going to be difficult to substantiate. So that's my question on that, just to say, don't think it's going away once the pandemic goes away, because now the courts know and the parties know that you can press a button on Zoom or whatever platform you're using, and you can record that entire deposition and have it edited later and so on and so forth. So there's really no reason not to do that if you're taking a virtual depo. With regard to in-court proceedings, I've had a few instances. I've had some bench trials, obviously, and some also some remote in witnesses where you need to do and make sure that either the court or the parties make sure that the witness is, you know, alone, or that you are aware of all the individuals that are in the room and that they're aware that the documents that they get to use during the deposition are only those that have been admitted into evidence or that a party is going to try to admit into evidence. And so, because I've had an instance where a witness brought their notes and during trial wanted to refer to them, and they happened to be a pretty substantial, not something to be admitted, but pretty substantial document that the other party should have known about. So I would just say if the court doesn't do it, make sure that you at least understand, you know, who's in the room, that the witness can't confer with anyone else, and that they can't refer to anything else other than the exhibits.